Welcome to the Badass CEO Podcast. This is Mimi McLean. I'm a mom of five, entrepreneur, Columbia Business School grad, CPA, and angel investor. And I'm here to share with you my passion for entrepreneurship. Throughout my career, I have met many incredible people who have started businesses, disrupted industries, persevered, and turned opportunity into success. Each episode, we will discuss what it takes to become and continue to be a badass CEO, directly from the entrepreneurs who have made it happen. If you're new in your career, dreaming about starting your own business, or already an entrepreneur, the Badass CEO Podcast is for you. I want to give you the drive and tools needed to succeed in following your dreams. Before we get started today, I wanted to tell you about a great company I found that takes the stress out of all the legal stuff we hate to do. CorpNet helps me out with all my incorporation documents, trademark searches and filings, and keeps me compliant for state and federal filings. CorpNet makes it super easy and is reasonably priced. I even have my own CorpNet representative to call on when I have questions. I wish I'd found this company sooner. I would have saved money and slept better knowing that I filed all the right forms for my company. To learn more, go to thebadassceo.com/CorpNet. Hi, welcome back to The Badass CEO. This is your host, Mimi McLean, and today we have on Lauren Laha. She's a dynamic entrepreneur who is a speaker, author, producer of her own events, and a results coach. She has worked for many years with Tony Robbins and appeared on stage with Gary Vaynerchuk, Mike Rowe, Barbara Walters, and Barbara Corcoran, just to name a few. Lauren's leadership and business triumphs are a testament to her obsession with creating value. She has built explosive teams in 25 countries. She's a real estate investor and property owner throughout the United States. I'm excited today to speak with Lauren about how she has created her personal brand and has created a legacy. To get your top 10 tips every entrepreneur should know, go to thebadassceo.com/tips. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on today. You've done so much. I was looking at your website and your videos, and you've done so much. So, like, how did you get started creating your personal brand?
Oh my gosh, how did I get started? You know, I think I started really young. I think I started once as an entrepreneur, super young. My mom was the ultimate entrepreneur, I say. You know, you and I were just talking about Santa Barbara before we got on the call. And I went to this flea market. There was like a shop that was a flea market. And I walk in there and I like lit up, like all of these feelings came back to me because I was raised on flea markets. And my mom, literally everybody knew her at the flea market. And I think I modeled my mom a lot about how important it is to create a brand. Literally really young. But then I like was really looking at like, what was it that made me unique? I was always looking for what makes me unique in the marketplace. You know, I was supposed to go take, I was just talking to my son about this, that I was going to go take a job when I graduated from college. And it was just like, yeah, I don't know if that's really unique enough. I don't know. It's going to kind of like, I felt like Thankful I was just you. Getting yeah. stuck in the whole world of things. Then I started to really listen. Versus what did people see about me? What was about me that made me unique? And how do I stay true to that? Because I think for so long, as you know, being in the world of, you know, Robbins for 32 years, I mean, it's a long time. I think a lot of times I would see people and they would not celebrate themselves and they would try to be like little mini Tonys running around instead of like really looking about why they did have an influence. And so when I was teaching these programs in Fiji for Tony, I was like, hey, I am a mom. I'm a woman. I'm, you know, doing all of these different things. Why not celebrate that? So
I think. But how did you even get connected with Tony?
So I was in college in 1986. It's a funny story. And my boyfriend and I back then, I don't know if I'm sure you remember, there were just books. There weren't like personal development books. There weren't gluten-free cookbooks. There were just books. And we're coming back from the football game and he sees this book. It says Unlimited Power. And he goes, oh my gosh, that's so you. And he drags me into the bookstore. You know, back then it was Tony on the back of the book in a full three-piece suit, you know, the whole car park going on his head. And I was actually headed to Atlanta to go work for CNN. I mean, that was the path that I was headed to in 87. He goes, one day we're going to go to a Tony Robbins seminar. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm going to move to Atlanta. I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to do this. And I thought, oh my gosh, you're crazy. And so I did what every good college graduate would do. I moved to Vail, Colorado, and worked on my doctorate of waitressing degree instead of going to take a job. And then I ended up in San Diego. I was offered a job. I was in sports marketing. I worked for the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. And it's very timely that we're doing this event. I mean, this right now, because it was Thanksgiving, November 1989. And a friend of mine invited me to go deliver food to the homeless. And I was, you know, I love my career. I love what I was doing. But the part that was missing for me was contribution. So I ended up at this big house in Del Mar. And everybody had a big house in Del Mar. And this particular house just happened to be in the shape of a castle. And we're delivering, there's like 25 people there. And I'm like, oh my God, like what cool people. This is amazing. And then I'm walking around the turret of the castle. And I see this guy in Nelson Mandela, this guy in the president, you know, and I'm like looking. And then I see that book, you know, that my boyfriend bought in college. And I'm like, oh my God, yeah, that's that book, you know, that my boyfriend bought me. And I feel a tap on the shoulder, and it was Tony. And he was only 29 at the time.
Was it his house?
It was his house. And he says, oh, have you read my book? And I'm like, no, but I have it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And he goes, look, I saw you had a really great time today. I'd like to invite you to stay for Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, cool. And there, like I said, there was 25 people and set up like a horseshoe. And he had each person stand up and say what they were most grateful for. And I stood up and I'm like, I'm grateful. I finally met a group of people like this. I didn't know people like this were out there. And then that's the night I met my kid's father, who was a fifth employee. And then I ended up going 6 months later, going and working for the company in the production department, creating the crew division for Tony, the people that come and work the events. I created like a family within a family. And that's when Tony asked me to move to Fiji and launch his Life Mastery program. So I lived there for 2.5 years teaching that program, about 36 week long programs a year. Yeah. So that's a little bit long and short of it. But I think I really am very grateful for him, because I remember him saying to me, I said, you know, you could have brought anybody in the world to come launch this program in Fiji, because it was because of 9/11 that we're all stuck in Hawaii, and he had to reinvent. He had to pivot, just kind of exactly what we're all going through right now. And I think that's the biggest thing I've learned from him, is how do you really pivot and reinvent? And so I said, why did you ask me? There's people with more skill than me. There's people with more, you know, experience. And he said, you know, Lauren, I knew you'd take care of these people. And I said, I know how to do that, right? And he said, the skill will show up. And I think that I would say that to everybody out there. Just, you know, really think about what, when you're talking about branding, like really think about the, what do you really love to do? And I love to take care of people. I got that mama energy, that mama bear. I think there's a lot of probably your listeners who have that energy, and you love to serve and take care of people. And I just was me, you know, I just stepped up and I celebrated myself. And I think it gave a lot, especially a lot of women, hope back then, that you didn't have to be some 6'7" guy to make a difference. You know, I think a big role model to me was always Marianne Williamson when I would see her, or Mary Manon Morrissey. They're these tiny little women, but they're like mighty. So that's pretty much how, and I'm still,
I it's
still
amazing though, like the destiny or the serendipity of the whole thing. And then you saying yes too, right? Like, it's just kind of meant to be.
And I think that that is a really important thing about, I mean, for me, I say yes so much, right? Like I say yes, because I never know where that road's going to take me. You're exactly right. And I think so many times, I mean, people always ask me all the time, like, how many events have you done? And I'm like, oh my God, I can't even count. My friend, she said, you know, how she was having me write down how many events I've done. And I'm like, okay, events that I've done at my kids' school, or events that I've done a show, or events that I've done for my Rotary Club. What are you talking about? So I think that saying yes is important, because that time in the trenches is somewhere, and you never know who you're going to meet. I don't have any expectations about, you know, what's going to happen, like from whether it's a show or whether it's, like I said, my kids' school. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to keep on giving and keep on sharing. So
that's great. You had mentioned that you were in charge of like hiring people for Tony's events. That I find is probably one of the hardest things that people talk about as their pain point for companies as they grow, is finding the right people or finding...
Mine was more, what would happen was people would come to events and they would graduate from the event and they would want to come and keep serving. So I created a community within a community. Like, I remember my first event was in Chicago and people just showed up to work the event. And I'm like, oh my gosh, now where do people go? People need to be in places. People need to this and that. So I'm always in that logistical event mindset. Like if I'm a participant, what would I want here? What would sign would I want here? What person would I want here? So I was like, how do I create a community within a community? So that's when we started putting together more like skill-based extra bonuses for people if they would come and serve. But I would really watch people. I would literally look and go, where would I want to see this person? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like I would, how do they make me feel? What is their physiology like? What's their smile like? Maybe they don't need to be a person that's, they're greeting the people. And I also didn't like play favorites because I would be like, there's always someone who's going to work well with someone. I remember there was this guy, God bless him. You know, he was interesting, but he had a home. You know, he had a home. And instead of thinking that people don't belong, everybody has a home. You can find someone a home. And I remember his home was literally being a runner for the AV team. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, as corny as that sounds, and he did it for 18 years. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
It was just that other people were like, gosh, he's so this or he's so that. And I'm like, okay, I hear you, but let's just find him a home. And I learned that from a great book. It's called Gun Ho. Do you remember the book?
No.
It was about this woman. She worked for this big company and they had all these distribution plants across the United States. There was this one distribution plant that she was told that they needed to go close it down because they had the worst results in the country. Well, she went and she noticed there was, okay, they have the worst results in the country, but they also have one department that has the best results of any department in the country. So instead of looking about what wasn't working, and I learned this from Robbins as well. I give a lot of credit to what I've learned in that environment is we always start with what's great versus what's not great. And we always debrief in that way. And she went in and she went and studied this. Turned out that the person that was the head of that department was a Native American. She goes, why do you have the best results of all the departments? And she goes, let's go follow some animals. So the first day they went and they followed squirrels. And what do squirrels do?
They gather.
What do squirrels do? They gather nuts. And if they don't gather nuts, then what happens?
They go hungry.
So there are people that they're squirrels. You just give them a job, tell them what they do, and then they go and do it, right? And we need squirrels. We need a lot of squirrels, right? Then they went the next day and they followed beavers. And beavers, what's their outcome is the same. The outcome is to build the dam. Mm-hmm. Now, you might bring ideas to the dam. I might bring big logs to the dam. Somebody else might bring mud to the dam. But our outcome is still the same. The outcome is still the same, which is to build a dam. And beavers literally drive squirrels nuts, right? Because they've got, we could do it this way and this way and this way and this way. And squirrels are going, just tell us what we need to do.
Right. Yes.
And then the third animal they followed were geese. And geese, they fly in formation, right? And they honk and they honk and they honk and they honk and they're cheering that lead goose on. And then that one drops out and goes behind. So they're kind of the cheerleaders.
Right.
What happens lots of times in organizations is they're not looking at the different kind of people that they have. A lot of people who go, I don't feel appreciated, right? They probably got a lot of great squirrels, but they don't have any geese cheering them on.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
So I was always looking for what's the balance of where do we need certain kinds of people? Where are the ones that need to get the job done? Where are the ones we need that creativity? Where are the ones we need to be cheering on participants? And I love that. That's my passion, as you can tell.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then now you're doing like a results coaching business in addition to speaking.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing coaching for a long time. I think for me, you know, I have a team of people that I have as coaches because, I mean, for me personally, there's just a lot of high-level executives I love working with. I love to pass the mic. My friend Lisa Grossman, she always says, your job is to get to the front of the room as quickly as possible and then pass the mic to somebody else, right? Like I have an opportunity to do something and someone was asking me to speak at an event, and I go, I really appreciate it, but I'd really like to pass the mic to this person, you know, because they've earned it. And so I think that for me, that's what my passion is, teaching others to also be, you know, to really people that love to do coaching. That's just how I am.
Is your results coaching for like other business people, or is it to teach them to be in front of the room?
I have, we've done my kid's dad and I, we've done a speaker's boot camp for many, many years, just because, I mean, we've learned from the best in the world. I believe that there's only a handful of what I call 1% speakers. And I mean, really 1% speakers. And I know certain people have certain strategies, you know, like with regards to things. We're really about pulling out that true voice for people. Like, what's your message? What's your true message with regards to that? So I have a group of women, my true leaders, it's called the TLC. And those are women who they've already achieved a lot in their life. And they're really at that point that they want to leave a legacy. And so they're looking for helping them with their true voice. So like at the last event, we obviously had it scheduled. Then, you know, the mandatory pause came along in the world, but a couple of them came out and really worked with them one-on-one. A lot is like pulling out their story and what is the message that they feel that is their legacy. So I do that, you know, we do that like a couple times a year, but it's very small group because it's very intense. It's like, it's full on immersion. You know, there are some people that are more like, we'll do something once a week type of learning. And then there are people, and I think it's just because I've been in the event world for so long, that like, let's dive in, let's dive deep, let's just go.
And rip it
so,
off.
Like, that's how I am. So, you know, obviously we teach the way we like to learn lots of times. And it's not for everybody. Sometimes people, it's not their way of learning. So I think you have to find what, it's kind of like I always say, you got to find the right school for your kid, not the right school. You got to find the right coach for you, not just the best coach. You know,
right.
There's just so many different ways.
It's hard though to find clarity, like to find your why or to find who you are living day to day, like just doing it once a week. I personally would rather just be immersed because then you're removed and you can really focus. And
that's me too. That's how I am too. That's why I am full on that way. Because I let a lot of distractions, and there's a lot of distractions happening, and then I can't get laser focused the way that I really like. I keep my goggles here because
I love that.
Right here, because like when I sit at my desk, you know, my friend, my business coach, he said to me, he's not a business coach, he's an amazing businessman. He's not like a coach, but he's like, Warren, you need to be the Michael Phelps of your profession. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you need to just put your goggles on and swim. So I think that you're right. Like for me, without immersion, I can get very, very distracted of what's happening around me. But you know, there are some people that are really great at it. So I would say find a person that's great at doing that for you. I'm probably not that person. You know, I'm more like, I'll kick you in the butt and I'll hug you at the same time. But my intention's always good. And you know what? Like I said, I freaking have been with the best. I've seen the best. I've worked with them. I mean, I'm talking, and not just Tony, I'm talking a lot of different speakers. And there's some people that, another one of my favorite is Bob Proctor. I mean, Bob is, and he is true as true is. I mean, the guy, you know, I remember talking to him once because he wrote the foreword to another book that I've been working on. I said, Bob, I owe you a big apology. And he goes, why? I go, I never really appreciated the time in the trenches as much as I do now, like my experience of 32 years. And I want to help others rise. I think it's our responsibility to mentor people to help them rise. But I remember how cocky I was in my 20s and 30s and even 40s. And I was like, oh, I got this. Like, oh, I don't need to have worked with however many written people. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. Like all the, you know, experience I've had and who I've met and resources I can pull that I never, ever, ever had as resources.
So I see that you're also an entrepreneur and you have real estate. Can you talk a little bit about that? And how do you, everyone tells you you're supposed to stay focused, but you're like me where you like to do lots of different things.
So. Well, I mean, some people say that, but you know, I remember hearing, I was emceeing an event for Success Resources and it was in New Jersey. So it's funny. It was this beautiful theater in New Jersey. And I was right before the mandatory pause in the world. And Gary Vee was talking about this. And he says, a lot of people will tell you to be focused. He goes, I'm going to tell you no. He said, all roads lead to, you know, like it's kind of like everything kind of brings you back home. And he talked about like diversifying, right? I mean, you hear about wealth. I mean, you learn anything about mm-hmm. the top wealth people in the world, and no matter who they are, no matter what they believe about wealth, but they always talk about diversify, 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 diversify. And thank God, I look at my life and I'm like, thank God I diversified in my life, because I was so full on in immersion of just focusing on speaking and doing those things that when this mandatory pause happened, thank God I had all of these things that I was diversified in, many different businesses that I have. And I might say there's probably seven different things that I do. I love real estate. I've always loved real estate. I didn't love real estate so much during the recession, you know.
Especially if you're the landlord.
Yeah. Especially like, you know, I mean, our house, we had a $1 million home and we had to short sell it for $305. I mean, we had to pay $45,000 to get out of our house. I mean, I went through a divorce. I mean, we've all got our story, right?
Right.
But I remember that feeling. And I think the feeling that drives so many of us is never again, right? The feeling of like, never again, I'm never going to do those things. So when I met my husband, I met him at baggage claim 10 years ago. And both of us have been going through divorces. And I thank God I've been doing little things to make sure I'd save money for my kids. I mean, I put like, remember when I was pregnant with them, it was $50 a month, then it was $100 a month. But thank goodness I had that contingency money if God forbid anything went wrong. And it did, right? Even though I was doing well, I still had three kids in very expensive sports like lacrosse and wrestling and dance. And I mean, I'm sure we can all relate to this. Right. So it's all like, it's like more month at the end of the money. But I remember with my husband, we were like, we're going to do this. We're going to figure this out. And we've done real estate during the mandatory pause. We started going to Zion and like visiting Zion, and it's just so good for my soul. And then we're like, we'll start buying land. And we ended up buying 120 acres of land, which we're planning on doing a dog rescue and a facility, a retreat center. So I think that you've got to just follow what really makes your heart sing. And then if you love it, you know, because there's really only three ways to make money, right? One, real estate; two, stocks, bonds, whatever, now crypto. My kids are in there doing their crypto things, and a business. Those are the only three ways to make money. So whether you own a business or you're part of a business, or so I think that for me, I just got excited about it. And I think I had a lot of pain as well. My dad was an optometrist and I just saw him working. I mean, we never went on a family vacation unless it was a weekend. And I just was like, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be like that. I can't, you know, enjoy it. And then of course, right when my dad retired, a couple months later, he passed away. So I think that for me, I'm like, what can I do now so that I can really be smart and diversify?
Right. I mean, that's one lesson I tell, like, especially women now. It's like, if one thing we all learned during COVID is make sure you don't have one stream of income, right? Yeah. So it's like, if you need to keep your job, that's great. But then on the side, follow your passion. If it's making something, if it's a service business, whatever, do something on the side that helps you create another stream of income or real estate or whatever.
I will tell you, I know there's a lot of people. I mean, I love affiliate marketing. I love network marketing. I think that for network marketing nowadays is people had a community to plug into, which is not something a lot of people had. I mean, if you look at what people are really hungry for, it's community, right? Like whether they're wherever they went to church, their synagogue, their whatever, their mosque, whatever, that went away during that time. And so many people had their needs met by that community, a hug, a welcoming somebody, a greeting somebody. Or like I look at the Robbins events, like now Tony just did his first live event in 2 years and people like the crew came back and it's like, they are all back to life now, right? I mean, we are meant for community. We're meant to be brought together, especially as women, right? That's what we do. I mean, we create community. So however that it is, find a community. I would say there's so many, I mean, they're great. Like I went to some affiliate, I mean, every event comes to Vegas, as you can imagine, but all these people that did different affiliate marketing, they were all there and that was the community. My husband, I called him one time and I go, I think I'm like really depressed. And he goes, what are you talking about? I goes, you're with people all day long. I go, no, I'm not. I go, no, I'm not. And this was before the mandatory pause. I said, you're with people all day long, because he worked as an executive on the strip. I said, you're with people all day long. You don't realize just seeing people in the coffee room or
Yeah.
We're walking down the hall that you're getting filled up in some different way. I go, I'm not. I go, I'm on Zooms, but I'm not with people.
Yeah.
So that's when I go and do those immersion things, that's when I fill up, or like going out to a class, mm-hmm. or by the gym or something. I think people need to really audit their lives and really take inventory of like what really fills their mind. Anybody I work with, I always say, make a list of everything that you love, everything that you love, you know, from the sunset to the sunrise, to the sand between your toes, to your kids, mm-hmm. you know, the way your kids say your name, and make that list so that you make sure in some way you're filling yourself up with those simple things. And make a list of the things you really, I don't like to use softeners, like hate. I hate the feeling of living paycheck to paycheck. That's why I did it. I hated that feeling. I had mm-hmm. so much pain because the pain's what moves you, right?
Yep.
Because when you're comfortable, you're not growing.
No, you're not growing.
Right? So.
That's great. So I'd love to end on any advice, because you have so much great advice from all your speeches and your class and your coaching program. What advice do you have for an entrepreneur woman? Any kind of, just to leave them on, any good advice?
I mean, my advice is just to go for it. I would also be patient. I always like to say, you need to be patiently persistent. I think nowadays we expect results so quickly with things. Instead of letting that momentum build, things take time. You know, you can see behind me, I have bamboo there. Mm-hmm. And I'd say the best advice is just using the example of a bamboo, right? Mm-hmm. With anything, right? The first year you plant bamboo and all you see is dirt. And people go, there's nothing happened. What's that? What's up with that business of yours? Stop doing that business. It was my husband, right? He's like, what are you doing? What are the sales? What are this? And that. Second year, all you can see is dirt. But the truth is, it's growing an inch, right? And then another inch the next year. Third year, nothing's happening. People are like, just give up that business. What are you doing? That's crazy. Why are you doing that? Why are you still in the game? Fourth year, people are like, and you're like starting to go, maybe they're right. You know, what am I doing with this thing? And then, but it's still growing those roots. And you're going, maybe I should have bought a ficus, right? Or something like that. And then the fifth year, as we know, is your business can grow, like a bamboo plant grows between 30 and 100 feet, depending on the species of bamboo. So all that time, it was creating these strong roots, right? And building deep. The depth is so important to you, but there's a lot of people that may look like their businesses are growing, but it's very surface, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm like you, I'm proud that I built a strong, deep business. It's an unshakable business for myself, right? I have those years of experience. I have case studies. I have whatever that it is. So now that it's got that depth, even though it wasn't like shiny lots of times, it's deep. So I would say be patiently persistent, stay laser focused, and find a great team around you to support you. So that would be my advice, and stay badass.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much. This has been amazing, and I love all your advice. For those of you who would like to find out more about Lauren, you can go to laurenlahav, LAHAV.com. So it's LAHAV.com. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us on The Badass CEO. To get your copy of the top 10 tips every entrepreneur should know, go to thebadassceo.com/tips. Also, please leave a review as it helps others find us. If you have any ideas or suggestions, I would love to hear them. So email me at mimi@thebadassceo.com. See you next week, and thank you for listening.